Today on Real Life Radio.
If God saved you just to get you into heaven, then you would have died the day you got born again. No, you know why you're still here? Because God wants to use you.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, keeping our eyes off of ourselves and on what would please the Lord and bring Him glory takes a special kind of determination and focus. That's why starting the day with devotions is a great way towards a meaningful and lasting relationship with Christ. But with tight schedules and hectic lifestyles, we don't always want to waste precious time searching for inspiring devotional material. So, Pastor Jack has written and provided them for us. Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com. And click on the tab labeled Devotions. There's a new one every week, along with quick and easy access to previous devotions, with titles such as The Eternal Love of the Lord, Our Awesome God, and Blessings in Abundance. You can even subscribe to Pastor Jack's devotional newsletter when you type in your email address. Again, it's available on our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. You can also have access to Pastor Jack's devotions when you download the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called 1 Corinthians with the message titled, The Christian in Love Makes for a Church at Work. 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and he shares with us how much he loves Jesus and his church. You see, we can't say we love the Lord and at the same time, nothing really comes out of our lives for His church. The believer, when in love with Jesus, will always be effective in church ministry. So today we learn that there is so much more to being a Christian than just attending church. Believers can experience so much joy when they find God's purpose for their lives. Now, with his message called The Christian in Love Makes for a Church at Work, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
A Christian in love with Jesus and a church at work, you can expect to receive your spiritual gift or giftings because it's a prerogative of the Holy Spirit. That is, it's His choice. Listen, you don't show up to God and say, okay, God, I know Billy Graham's really old, so I want to be his replacement. So here I am. You do not tell that to God. He tells you what you're going to do. God might say to you, this, that, or the other thing. I don't want to put anything in your head. I want God to speak to you. And you'll know it. And you want to know one of the telltale signs of God speaking to you? It's a little bit of a push. It's a little bit of an exhortation. You know why? It's impossible. He will say, pick up your cross and follow me. And Here's how we are. Okay, but can I put that in my GPS first? Okay, but can you give me a map? Okay, but no, okay, no buts. Jesus will say, do this, do that, or he'll put a thought in your mind that maybe the gift of this, maybe God wants me to be a pastor, maybe God wants me to be an evangelist, maybe God wants me to pray for the healing of people, or maybe I think God is calling me, and we'll talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and you know what? It will be impossible for your flesh, but possible with God, and you will know it's him. And when God does it, by the way, it'll look natural coming out of you. You ever seen Greg Laurie evangelize? Makes me sick. I can preach my heart out to thousands of people, and three people come forward. Greg Laurie shows up and reads a menu, and 10,000 people get saved. I don't have that gift. And look how it flows out of him. It's amazing to me. It's God's prerogative, the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 says, but it's the same Spirit who distributes to each one individually as he wills. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, it's his choice. Next, it's this. It's the reason why you are here right now. Listen, expect to receive the Holy Spirit's gifting for you to be activated in this church or your church that you return home to. It's God's will, and it's the very reason why you're here. Some of you are here visiting, and God is speaking to you right now to go home, to go back to your church, and to do whatever you're supposed to do. Some of you have just shown up here, and you've made this your church, and you're saying, what do I do? And God is speaking to you. Some of you have sat here for years, and God will no longer, because I've been pleading with him, Lord, don't let them sit here anymore. See, what does that mean? I don't know. But I'm praying that I start to see chairs begin to spontaneously combust. And you'll have to jump up. What was that? That was the fire of the Holy Spirit. I'm kidding. But you know what I'm saying. It's like, I can't sit here any longer. My rear end is burning. God, listen, if God saved you just to get you into heaven, then you would have died the day you got born again. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. And you keel over. No, you know why you're still here? Because God wants to use you. He wants to use you to listen in a plethora of things, by the way. It's pretty cool. To not only strengthen the body of Christ. Did you know that? See, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not either. But you know what? God wants to also use believers to encourage believers. Did you know that? That's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Barnabas had that gift to encourage each other. You know what? We need a lot of encouragement in days like these. Okay? You take a stand, you're going to be discouraged. You take a stand, you're going to be attacked. Right? And you need people behind you. See, well, why doesn't God just encourage me? He does through the body of Christ. Well, why doesn't Jesus just open up the ceiling and speak to me? Because people need to be used. He loves using his people. Some of you might be sitting here today and God is speaking to you for the very reason you were born and the reason why you were saved. God will begin to burn into your heart to reach the homeless or to whatever. Ephesians 2:10 says that God holds the blueprint to your life. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, listen. I have 11 minutes left, but I'm not even going to tell you that we're almost done. I would be lying to you. I'll just say we have 11 minutes left for you to decide as a believer that according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that God holds the blueprint to my life. That's your life.
You understand? I believe in Jesus, but there's no blueprint for my life.
Then you don't believe in Jesus. He is the Word of God. The Word of God says, Ephesians 2:10, that he has the blueprint for your life. And it's unique, by the way, from all other blueprints. Listen to what it says. For we are his workmanship. Meaning he has a blueprint. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Those are specific things that you are to accomplish while you have opportunity. Which God prepared beforehand, pre-programmed in eternity before I was hatched. God had a plan for my life. Isn't that cool? How many of you are breathing right now? Raise your hand. Just checking. Before you were born, God had a pre-programmed blueprint for your life.
Amen.
That's so exciting. It's all laid out. It's pre-programmed. He loaded the program even before you were born with your name on it. Wow. We don't know if we have next week. And have you noticed that when stuff hits our lives real quick, real now, the precious, simple things become the most pure and desirable. You ever been really sick? You ever been so sick you can't eat? For days, weeks, months? I remember I came down with a disease in 1990, and I couldn't eat hardly anything for 9 months. I lost so much weight. I looked like a dead man walking. Let me tell you something. I remember looking at the blue of the sky and saying, God, that is awesome. And you want to eat like a hamburger, and you can't do it. I mean, you could do it, but you will pay the price. It will be a horrible, horrible pain, horrible situation. But let me tell you something. When it really gets tough, the smell of your children's hair, time with those that you love, the feeling of the sun on your skin, or the sound of children playing. Have you ever been there? If you've never been there, I pray that for you. There's no other way to experience it. But to have it before you on the precipice of it being lost. And as a believer, what if this time next week, we're out of here? What if this time next week the rapture would have happened? Only that which you and I did for Jesus will matter then. It won't be your bank account. I'm asking God for wisdom for what little money I have. Lord, will you figure it out for me just right, please? Because it's your money that you've asked me to manage. And so what I need to do, God, is at the very last minute, have maybe $3 left over in the bank account for the Antichrist to spend. Because I don't want to go to heaven and leave money behind for what? When I can use it for the kingdom of God. Think about it for a second. If I'm dying next week, I want to have something in play that will put what God has given me, which I have no right to, but to manage, that it would be kept in the power play for God. You say, wow, you know, wow. Forget the wow. Time is the most precious thing that we have. I don't encourage you to go to movies, but a moment ago, I encourage you to go see Monumental. Why? People walked out of the theater saying, that just changed my life. Church should do that to you.
What was the sermon today on?
Well, hopefully today you'll leave here saying, well, you know what? I think God put a spark under my rear end.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Point number two, discovering the use of your spiritual gifts. So, okay, Pastor, you've beaten that drum. Now, okay, what do I do? All right, listen. Number one, here's what you do. Be willing. It requires that you be willing. This is the biggest thing of all. Are you willing? Don't say yes. Don't tell me that. Are you willing to walk up, as it were, to God and say, I am willing? Think of the most vulnerable thing, and you're willing to do that thing. I'm willing. To him. Lord, I'm willing. Number one thing. Discovering your gift begins by being willing. I hear many Christians say they don't know what their gift is. And it's true. Because first of all, they're not always willing. You want to go to, don't raise your hand. You want to go to heaven? Yes. How do you get there? Jesus. Okay, how did that happen? He died on the cross for me. And how are you justified? That is declared righteous. He rose from the grave. And then we show up and say, okay, thank you for all of that. Now I'm going to tell you how it's going to be. No, he's the Lord. We come to him and say, you're awesome. And I'm so grateful that you've washed away my sins, that in your presence, I am as clean and pure as the driven snow. You love me and you want to use me in what you want done. So Lord, here I am. Use me beyond what I could ever imagine, think or say. And God, will you please, I'm adding, this is my personal part here. God, will you do it in such a way that I would be the last person on the planet to recognize you using me? I don't want to know that till later because I'm afraid of me. And watch what he does. I mean, When you pray that prayer, you should be like this. Right? Like Friday. Where were you Friday when the lightning storm came by? We don't get that in California. What was that? I'm reading my Bible. I'm studying for this message and I'm reading along and there's a flash. And then my house shook like an earthquake. I got up. I went outside like a fool. I looked up and I'm like this and boom again. And I had the biggest smile on my face and it dawned on me, gosh, I have a huge smile on my face. Have I lost my mind? Am I going insane? What is this? And you know what? It was just the grandeur of the power of God crashing a cold cloud into a warm cloud. Boom! Boom! And I went, wow! And God says, I want you to have dynamite power in your life. Not to collide clouds. What would that do? Who cares about that? Let God do that stuff. He wants us to share with one another encouragement or love or care. And he wants us to tell someone that Jesus loves them too. Amazing. Requires that we be willing. Also this, it requires us to be active. Simply, I will. I'll do that. I'm willing. I will step. Imagine coming to the Red Sea, Moses and all the clan. Moses, are you willing? I'm willing, God. That's great. He turns to the children of Israel, estimated 2.5 to 3 million of them. Excuse me. Are you willing? Are you all willing? Can you imagine? We are willing. Can you imagine? And it's cute because it's us, man. Moses starts talking to the people of Israel. Okay, then. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And God says, why are you talking? Did you read it? Read it in Exodus. It's awesome. God says, what are you doing talking? Moses, go! Quick! Pharaoh's coming. It's great. I love it. You've got to be willing. They were willing. They were willing to even talk about it. He had to get his foot out there. And that's the biggie. I want to receive more from God, but I'm afraid that what if I give it up? Trust him. Stop playing it safe. Where has that gotten you thus far anyway? Listen, very quickly. What am I telling you for? I'm the one messing this whole thing up. Intentionally. It requires that you and I be intentional. In Mark 5:18, you talk about a man being intentional. This is awesome. It was the demoniac of the Gadarenes. And it says, and when Jesus got into a boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with Jesus. However, Jesus did not permit him, that is, to follow Jesus or to go with Jesus, but said to him, Go home, go to your friends, tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. Jesus, God in flesh, tells this man who was previously demonic, go home, tell your friends what great things God has done for you and how God has had compassion on you. There's your message. You looking for a message? There it is. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis. Technically, it's this. In the Decapolis. In all the 10 cities. Deca, Decapolis, cities. 10 cities. This lunatic, demonic-possessed man living on the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee in pig country, mind you. Gentile region. They were farming pigs there. This guy's fettered with chains to tombs, cutting himself with rocks, bleeding, demon-possessed, crazy. Jesus comes over there, casts out the demons out of the guy. The guy's in his right mind. They put clothes on him, meaning he must have been naked. And the man's sitting there and saying, that's it. I'm following you. And Jesus says, oh, no, you're not. You, my friend, have had a radical life change. You are going to go where I tell you to go. And you think they would have went, no, wait. I mean, I know I'm not possessed anymore, but the man was possessed now by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, because Jesus, listen, Jesus knew what the guy was going to do. The guy was going to obey because the guy loved Jesus. Third and final point. We can do this. Fulfilling the purpose for your spiritual gift. It must be led by Jesus. Mark it down. Not by you, not by me. It must be led by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Very quickly. Remember Jesus sent them out? Go into the highways, into the byways and preach the gospel. I send you out. Remember Jesus said, I'm sending you out to the ends of the earth. It must be led by Jesus. It can't be because you want to. It's because he's changed your heart and life. Watch this. It's got to be led by him. The very fulfilling of the purpose of your gift has got to be led by Jesus. Secondly, it must be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Everything that we do in the flesh, look, we could do great things in the flesh. Americans, we're Americans. We do it better than anybody in the whole world. We can fake it like nobody else on the planet. You know how we fake it? We throw money at it. You can build a big church. Does that mean God's there? You can build it. You can build an empire. Does that mean that it has civility? God doesn't care about money. He doesn't care about human resource. In Zechariah 4:6, the Bible says, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Zechariah 4, verse 6. And then we end here. Fruitful. This is cool. Fruitfulness. The Christian in love makes for a church at work, fulfilling the purpose of your spiritual gift. Why? What's my life's purpose meaning? Why should I care? Because fruitfulness gives glory to God. Fruitfulness. John chapter 5. This is your homework today. John chapter 15. In verses 5 and 6, and then verses 15 and 16, I will paraphrase. Jesus said, abide in me, and I will abide in you. The word abide means make your heart my home, and I will make my life your home. We will have the same house, Jesus says to you and I. Okay, we'll live in the same house. I will live in your heart. And when that's true, listen, everybody, this is the closing punchline right here. When I live in your heart, when I live in your life, the natural effect will be supernatural. And your life will produce fruit of righteousness, fruit that brings glory to my Father in heaven. And in your life, as you live with me, I will prune your life's issues and your life's circumstances. I will cut certain things back, and out of the cutting will come more branches with greater fruits. Jesus said this. And in the end, you and I are going to come before the throne of God, and we're going to have, as it were, buckets, barrels of fruit. It's called good works. Good works comes out of a fruitful life. And the Bible says that we're going to take those which we have that the Lord blesses, we're going to lay it out before him, and it will bring him glory and honor.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called The Christian in Love Makes for a Church at Work. Thanks for being here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
The featured offer of the month. This is a book you will love. Lisa and I have been reading it for a couple of years now, actually. It's a devotion. And you're saying, Jack, what is it? It's the book titled Now I See, but the word sea is like the ocean, S-E-A. It's written by Jenny Coate, And she is a wonderful author, and she's bringing you devotions themed around the ocean setting, the dynamics of storms and winds in our lives, challenging moments and times when it's peaceful and calm and beautiful. Now I See by Jenny Coate. You're going to want to get a copy, I promise you. I say this on behalf of Lisa and myself. Now I See by Jenny Coate is an absolute wonderful read.
Now I See, Spiritual Life Lessons from the Sea by Jenny L. Coate. It's available at our website for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. That's at jackhibbs.com/realradio, jackhibbs.com/realradio. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.